Hello!
Hey guys, it's Arden Cho.
This is Seth Gilliam.
Hey, this is Holland Roden.
My name is Kiahu Kuhuanui.
Hello, this is Ian Bowen.
Hey you guys, this is Melissa Ponzio.
I'm Lyndon Ashby.
Hey, it's Ronnie Adams.
This is Tyler Posey, and you are listening to Not Another.
Not Another.
Not Another.
This is Not Another Teen Wolf Podcast.
Yes, it is!
Oh!
Ha-ha!
This is Jeff Davis, and you're listening to Not Another Teen Wolf Podcast.
Is nice and shyness can stop you from doing all the things in life you'd like to. Shyness is nice and shyness can stop you from doing all the things in life you'd like to. So if there's something you'd like to try, if there's something you'd like to try, ask me, I won't say no. How?
Hi everyone, welcome to Not Another Teen Wolf Podcast. This is episode 92, rolling along with our hiatus episodes before the premiere of season 5 on June the 29th, which is all officially now, as opposed to officially unofficial or whatever was unofficially official or whatever was happening there. But yeah, June 29th, it's happening. It's happening. I'm going to be in the USA for that, actually, Karen. So that's going to be good. I'm going to have to find somewhere with MTV so I can watch it. It's going to be great. Maybe I'll go to Brooke's house and watch it. You know, that might work. We'll see. We'll work something out. I'm sure we'll fix it up. And then we can watch an episode together at Comic-Con when you come in
yes.
for Comic-Con. It's all going to be great. Have we ever actually sat down and watched an episode of Teen Wolf together? I mean, we've done at the convention at BiteCon, we did the live commentary.
Right.
But have we ever watched a new episode?
Oh,
experienced
no.
watching the new episode together?
I don't think so.
Wow. Well, that'll be an aim for this
maybe
year.
Maybe we should, like, record ourselves while we do that.
Yeah, that could be good. So, obviously, Karen and I are here today with you. And we are doing this week an Ask Me Anything episode, which I kind of put together as a combination of the AMA concept on Reddit, where, you know, writers, celebrities, any personalities basically at all can do, you know, a Reddit thread, which, you know, where people can do a Q&A and they ask whatever they want. Which are very, very popular form of social interaction, though I'm not really a Reddit person. Ask Me Anythings are quite good for people who do like that. And also our Answering Asks post on Tumblr, which Brooke and Courtney compile quite often with the Tumblr Asks, where we kind of research, you know, whatever it is you guys are asking, whether it's, you know, checking stuff about the show or opinions and all sorts of that. A lot of that is usually if it's opinion-based, it's them. It's Courtney and Brooke's opinions on what's going on or their research. So we thought we'd have a turn in the format that we know best, which is recording with our voices. So we're having an Answering Asks, the podcast edition. And the girls have helped as well, but this is going to be Karen and I taking a turn to have a go at that. So we've got quite a lot of questions submitted from Twitter and Tumblr from this, which is really really good, and hopefully that'll be fun and interesting, and, you know, you'll get some insight about us or some insight about how we make the podcast, what we think about Teen Wolf at this stage in the game, and maybe some other random things as well. Obviously, you can always reach us on the Twitter and Tumblr, which is NATW Podcast at Twitter, or notanotherteenwolfpodcast.tumblr.com. Notanotherteenwolfpodcast.com is the full site. Or you can email us, natwpodcast@gmail.com, should you want to reach out to us there. Thanks to everyone who did reach out. Hopefully we get through all the questions. I'm going to lead the discussion in terms of reading out the questions, and then Karen and I will either take turns answering them or both give the answers. A couple of the girls have submitted their answers for this as well. Some of these are very Teen Wolf specific, or, you know, asking for updates about news, which we'll do our best with, and some of them are opinion based. So this one is actually one I'll address straight away. Anonymous, which is fine. There was lots of anonymous, which is a little bit stressful to me, but it's fine. Actually asked, question for the podcast episode, is it due to time zone problems that you don't have the three other girls on and get random people on instead? It'd be nice to have the five girls who actually run the podcast rotating more often. I will answer this question very honestly for you guys, and Karen can give her take on it as well, which is basically Karen and I started the podcast just us. So we got into a system that was literally just the two of us on the recordings, which was fine. And then we started the Tumblr and all of that kind of stuff with a bit of help from a couple of my friends in the fandom who at the time were not associated with Hyperbole. And they helped us out, and that was Brooke and Courtney, and then later Donya came in as well via Courtney. They were not associated with Hyperbole at the time, and they were sort of just helping because I was like, we should have a Tumblr. I don't know how to Tumblr. That took off beyond anything we would have ever expected completely, and through us they also got into being involved in Hyperbole in various ways as writers or whatever they're doing. Brooke and Donya are both officially part of Hyperbole at the moment, and that definitely led to sort of more of a sort of an equality balance in terms of they weren't just helping us out like with knowing how to Tumblr, they were part of the podcast team and the Hyperbole team, but we sort of remained the main voices because of our original system. As time's gone on, time zones are a major issue. Donya has become part of the Hyperbole podcasting community, and I would say that she would be a very usual person who, if we could get her on for nearly every episode with the three of us, it would make a lot of sense. But doing those three time zones at once is very difficult. The other two, I'll be very honest with, Courtney is relatively shy about coming on and speaking up. She has preferred to be behind the scenes. I enjoy when she comes on, and we always invite people on, like when we're like, we're doing an episode about Scott, or, you know, whoever, we say, you know, does anyone want to come on and give their opinion, or someone will say, oh, you know, I really like this week's episode, I want to come on the podcast. Not a problem. There's no, you know, shafting people there, but she's someone who, you know, and I hope she doesn't mind me speaking for her, doesn't seem to like speaking up that much. It's actually coming on air is a bit difficult for her. And Brooke has great opinions, is very confident, but if you know anything about Brooke's situation, is she's a little bit shy about her voice when you can't see her, because she has a handicap. She has muscular dystrophy, which means her speaking voice is a little bit tough to follow when you're also not seeing her face. If you know her, it's easy, but if you don't, for a straight up podcasting voice, it's not ideal, and she's always been a bit anxious about that. So those are the main reasons that the various other people don't appear as much. Donya would be 100%, you know, she's a podcasting member of Hyperbole, but it's very tough to get the three of us at once. And the other two are sort of slightly by choice, not as vocal on air. So Karen, do you have sort of anything to add to that?
No, that was a pretty great rundown of our situation. I do want to add that originally we wanted this podcast to be a little bit different from the other podcasts, because at the time a lot of podcasts were starting to crop up on Hyperbole, and Andrew, the co-founder,
and they were all, yeah, three or four people, something like that.
Yeah, and he was really sort of hesitant to bring on more and more. And so we were like, okay, how can we convince him to let us do this podcast about this show, which at the time was still relatively unknown and not really being watched, especially among the staff members. And so we're like, all right, how we're going to make this different is it's just going to be us two. We're going to get really in depth. And we had all these ideas of what we could do to make it stand out. And that's why we started off with just me and Natalie. Now, I really like the idea of me and Natalie being the main hosts and sort of having this rotation come through, which is actually what Hero Hype does now too. It's Marima and Donya, and they bring on like a new guest every week, sometimes every week. I don't know if they do it consistently, but I like the idea of constantly having on fans and friends and people who like the others that run the podcast. I think it's a really good way to get like really fresh opinions and keep it changing and not always knowing who's going to be on next.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I'm quite happy with the system. And so sorry, Anonymous, if you are sick of my voice and would like to have someone else, that's fine. I understand that. And I understand how it can look a bit unequal when, you know that the girls are on the Tumblr and we're on here, but it's all for a reason. Like it's all kind of has flowed as it is. As I said, the way that we've progressed, I think that Donya could be on more, but it's very tough to get the time zones matching up for Britain, Australia, USA. It's very tough. So that's the first question in the bag, I suppose. How about this one? So this is actually an ask that we got on Tumblr that Brooke was going to post in the answering asks on Tumblr, but, you know, on the site, but she decided to keep it for this, which someone, you can call me Captain Galley, said, I saw that MTV renewed a show at their upfronts, but they didn't renew Teen Wolf. Should we worry about this, or is it perfectly normal? See, this is not my department. I don't know. Brooke keeps up so well with stuff like what ratings mean and all of that kind of thing. And it's not even like, you know, my country, like, you know, how the American TV system works. But she's written up an answer for this, which I'll just read, which she said, I'll be honest with you. I would have been incredibly, incredibly surprised if Teen Wolf had been renewed at upfronts. It's not unknown to happen. Like you said, Faking It was renewed for a third season and their 2B hasn't aired yet. But I think those two shows are in very different places. Season 6 is still a long way off, and I think we all have the sneaking suspicion that season 5 might be a big transitional year. The way I see it, Jeff, the actors, and the network have a lot of decisions to make, and right now it's still too early to commit to something that far in the future. MTV is juggling quite a bit right now. Eye Candy didn't live up to expectations, and they're probably hoping Scream and the Sharana Chronicles picks up some steam. So I wouldn't take the lack of renewal at upfronts as a bad sign at all. However, no promises as to what's to come. We really have no idea if the show or a new version of the show will be back next year. Right now, I think the network is just kind of waiting to see how things pan out. So that was just one that Brooke, that's an example of what Brooke does. You know, we get asks on Tumblr like that, asking for canon confirmation, you know, just knowledge that, you know, because people think we know more about what's going on with the show than other people do. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. They research very hard to get the right answers. But that's the kind of question that Brooke gets on Tumblr daily and sort of compiles the answering asks post, which Karen, as you can imagine, is a lot of research and a lot of opinions and a lot of work. So, yeah, it's a pretty big deal, those, all of the research that they do on the Tumblr to try and be a sort of good home base for the fandom. So that's sort of what we're trying to live up to here, basically. Okay, going down, BRAC666 says, serious question, what software do you use to edit and record the podcast? And not so serious question, in the episode you did on cast member side projects, neither of you knew who Dolph Lundgren is. How is it that Karen, with her love of terrible movies, have never heard of the guy who played He-Man in the live action movie of Masters of the Universe? Karen?
Oh boy, okay. I don't know why I've never heard of him. I've definitely never seen Masters of the Universe. I'm like Google imaging it right now. I don't know. This might be even more terrible than I'm accustomed to.
Well, that's. I think that you need to watch it now and get back to BRAC 666 about this situation.
I kind of want to.
As for recording, we record on Skype. So we talk on Skype. I have a program that's called, very creatively titled, MP3 Skype Recorder. There's a few different ones. Mac, people who use Macs use Audio Hijack, which is really good, but it's a Mac-only software. And I've used that before, but I'm on a PC at the moment. Audio Hijack, so it basically records the entire Skype call via the computer. Then I edit in Audacity is the editing program. I use other people might use something different, GarageBand or whatever. I use Audacity. I taught myself to use it when I auditioned for Glee Chat, and I probably don't know much about it, but I know enough to do editing, noise removal, you know, equalizing the sound a little bit, you know, stuff like that. Very, very, very basic, though I do edit quite thoroughly for, you know, pauses. And a pause in normal conversation in real life seems a lot shorter than a pause in an audio podcast. So I often shorten pauses and I, you know, do all sorts of things when I edit it. Karen, are you on the same software or what one do you use?
Yeah, I use both of those. And Audacity, yeah. Both of them are free, by the way. And
yeah.
Audacity is a really cool program. I basically know just the basics too, but there's a lot you can do with that. And it's kind of fun to play around with. Like editing a podcast can get kind of tedious, but it's also sort of fun to merge sentences or like get rid of mistakes and make it
when
flawless.
When you're able to find the track of a sentence where you edit out a mistake and it flows and it does not sound, and you can like equalize the voice and it does not sound like there was a mistake, and like it just literally flows and those sentences might have been like a minute and a half apart, it's the best. It's so good. And like, yeah, it's really like, there's sometimes you can hear it, sometimes there's obviously a little edit cut because something is just unavoidable, but there's been so many that you would never know about that I just love. It is super tedious, but it's also really like meditative, and it's really like, yeah it's like really like you're in the zone, and it's I'm not a huge fan of Tumblr, as people on here know. I mean, we love our Tumblr, but like the Tumblr as a concept confused me for a long time. But I've got to say, since actually having a Tumblr and having like a dash with lots of posts on it, being able to like scroll mindlessly through Tumblr on the side of the screen while listening, because it's really hard. You can't do anything else. You can't like read and edit. Like you can kind of randomly scroll Tumblr and just be like, pictures of stuff. Nice. Oh, mistake. Pause. Okay. Like, if you know what I mean, like it's really, Tumblr is actually really good for editing, but
I love how we both do that, and we both didn't know that we did that until one day we randomly like talked about it, and it's like, oh yeah, you do that too, okay, that must be a thing.
Yeah, so that's great. So that's the software stuff, so that's hopefully that's interesting to some people. I don't know if it is. Next question is a Canon confirmation-y picture, which another anonymous question said, any word yet on if that library picture is real, which is a picture that went round through the fandom that I assume was leaked or released in some way of a very, very beautiful sort of old-fashioned school library, which I think Tyler Posey actually announced on his podcast that there's a two-story school library set, so we can probably confirm that. I know Karen has a little bit more on that situation, so yeah, what did you want to say about that?
I mean, it's definitely real. I think that this is just the updated version of the library. Like, I don't know, maybe they decided to do some construction because the library keeps getting decimated or something like that. But it's totally real. I think maybe it was leaked, which is why we haven't reblogged it, because we try to avoid giving attention to those who steal photographs or,
find accounts and stuff like that.
Yeah, but it's definitely real. And I, for one, am really excited because it's a beautiful set and huge.
Yeah. And I was excited when I saw it because it looks exactly like my high school library. I went to a school that was like had quite a lot of old-fashioned buildings, and it had a library just like this, like two-story, shelves around the edges, big open space in the middle, arch window at the end with the stairs that go off to either side. Like, I looked at this, and I'll send you a picture at some point, Karen, because I found a school magazine the other day that had a picture of the library, and it's just such a similar layout, and it brought me right back, and I'm excited for this library. It's really really nice. So I'm looking forward to the library, and that should be good. Okay, moving on. Thoughts on episode 3 being called Dreamcatchers? This is interesting because this makes me think of like Native American legends. The dream catchers are obviously the sort of the webbing, like the hangings that they make. I actually have one in my room. And apparently this is a confirmed title from several sources. But there's also that horrible, scary horror movie called Dreamcatcher, which was creepy and terrified me. So did this sort of evoke anything in you, this title, Karen?
Yeah, actually, I have a lot to say about this. I think Dreamcatchers is an awesome title, by the way. Also, when Cody Christian was first announced as being a new character in the 5th season, I looked into his background a little bit, and he actually identifies as Native American. So that was kind of a really cool thing, because I've been wanting them to explore Native American lore for a really long time, and I actually wrote an article about what mythologies they could explore next. And Native American was actually the first one on my list. And I think that they could do a lot with this, because coyotes are really popular in Native American stories. And
that's true. Yeah.
And I mean, technically, like, we've explored Native American stories before, because South American legends are Native American. But I would like to see North like Northern Native American stories explored. Yeah. So the fact that they're calling episode 3 Dreamcatchers makes me really excited. It makes me hope that they'll be sort of leaning toward Cody Christian's Native American side for his role.
That's really cool. And yeah, I agree. I think that that could be really ideal. I mean, they're in the Pacific Northwest. You know, that's where the show's set, mm-hmm. like Northern California, Pacific Northwest. That's really big Native American. I mean, everywhere had, you know, its own legends, but really, really big stuff there. So I think that that could be really good, and hopefully that they have, you know, the right research and consultants to make it really cool and really appropriate. And yeah, that could be really cool for that character as well. So that sounds really good. Okay, Nicole Florence. Hi, Nicole Florence. I know you. Says, I have two very important questions to ask you guys. Favorite sound and favorite kind of nuts. The nuts is easy. The sound I would have to think about. But how about you?
Oh, God. This is so random, but I like random questions. Let's see. My favorite nut would have to be cashews. I like cashews okay. because they're, like, soft. Like, I like almonds, too, which is a really hard nut, but cashews are just nice to eat. That's so weird. Why are we talking about this?
I don't know.
And then favorite sound? That's difficult. Like,
yeah.
Maybe laughing.
Oh, I like, that's cute.
I like laughing. I like hearing people laugh.
My favorite nut is definitely pistachio, and I don't really like nut flavored things. Like, I don't like peanut butter cookies. So I don't mind nuts in cookies, but like peanut butter ice cream or like pistachio ice cream, whatever. But the nuts themselves, pistachio salted in the shell, sitting there and eating them. Literally, they're nearly my number one favorite food, like good pistachio nuts. And favorite sound is really hard. I don't know. Music, is that allowed? No, that's not good. I would really have to think about that. I feel like that's a really difficult question, and I don't want to like waste dead air being like I promise you, Nicole Florence, next time I come across a sound that I'm like, damn, that's pleasing, I will let you know. Actually, maybe like horses' hooves clopping on a road, because I really like have very good association with horses and memory of riding, and I still ride occasionally, but like that's a very like good sound for me, like very contented. It means that I'm in a good place. So that might be a good one.
I also want to give a shout out to walnuts, because walnuts in a salad with blue cheese and like craisins. Oh my god.
I made a salad like that. They do one at California Pizza Kitchen. They do a salad at California Pizza Kitchen that's like a rock, like a spinach. I think it's got walnuts, candied peaches and cranberries in it. And like it's got a bunch of different fruits, and it's got like red onion, walnuts and cheese and spinach. And I like reverse engineered it. Like I made it. I kind of Googled it and I made a version of it at home. And
I think
that
it's
was
called
fun.
A Waldorf salad, isn't it? Isn't
that a Waldorf definite, salad? A Waldorf salad has apples in it. Maybe that's something else. There's definitely walnuts involved somewhere. But anyway, sounds, yeah, I don't know. I can't think of anything better than that, but I'll think about that further. And if something strikes me in the middle of the night, I'll tweet about it. Okay, anonymous again. Question for your podcast thingy. What kind of music do you think the characters of Teen Wolf listen to when they're not running around trying to get killed, I mean?
I cannot imagine Scott listening to anything other than Blink-182, because I just so associate that with Posey, yeah. And I just feel like Scott would love that just as well.
Yeah, Styles' room definitely has a few posters of like bands that I don't necessarily think that I would characterize him as liking, like All Time Low and stuff like that, like modern pop punk. Maybe he does, I don't know. I can see Styles being really into like EDM, but maybe that's just because like there's so much EDM in the show that like I associate it with the show. What about Derek? Derek probably listens to like Elliot Smith or like, you know, something depressing like that. Kira's like My Chemical Romance, Fallout Boy, like that kind of thing.
I was gonna say,
like, for 100% sure, and maybe like some cute stuff. She might be in the One Direction fandom as well. Like, she might be like a chill, like, you know, oh, they're so cool. And Lydia probably likes people like, you know, beautiful, powerful female artists like Regina Spektor and Beyonce. You know, Imogen Heap, maybe Beyonce. I don't know if she'd be like a pop girl or like an indie girl, but yeah, I feel like that would be appropriate for her. Malia, I don't know. Malia probably likes Slipknot. Malia probably likes, you know, she probably likes the weird, like, you know, really weird stuff.
Malia listens to, like, those nature soundtracks with, like, the rain falling on the leaves and, like, the wolves. Well, it have to be coyotes howling in the background. That's what she listens to. I want to say that we did a podcast episode with Laura Webb, gosh, I don't even know how long ago, but we talked a lot about the music choices, and I believe she talked about who she thought the characters would listen to. So maybe we can link to that, or maybe you can dig back into our podcast history and find that.
Yeah, I want to know what other people think that people would listen to. I know that I very strongly associate Of Monsters and Men with Derek, but I don't know if Derek would like Of Monsters and Men. I just associate that album with him, so maybe he would. Who knows? I think it's like, it's quite ambient, indie, sad. I feel like that's all good for Derek. I think that's okay. So moving on from that, for those of you who read them, what's your favorite Teen Wolf fan fiction or favorite tropes to read, if there isn't a specific one that comes to mind? Oh, this is hard. We could do whole other episodes about fanfiction, and I don't have any to pull to mind immediately. But Brooke and Donya have left a little message here. Brooke's favorite is Friends to Lovers. She's all about it, which is why she likes Skittles so much. And Donya has written some very excessive comments about fake relationship. Like, oh, this unfortunate situation has happened. Clearly the only solution is to pretend to be married or dating. Yes, give me all of it immediately. Which, look, I can take both of those things. I really, really like that. My golden era of Teen Wolf was definitely like the Erica, Isaac, Boyd pack, Derek's pack coming together with Scott and Styles and Lydia and kind of coming a functionality. And there's a lot of new characters who are great since then, but those are the ones that I sort of had in a mental, like, I read a lot of fan fiction that was like future fan fiction, like, so set when they're about, you know, in their 20s or coming back after college or something like that, with those characters still alive and those relationships still quite big. And I haven't really adapted to away from that idea, but they're all dead, so it's kind of depressing. But I liked a lot of that. I liked a lot of fic that was like post-high school coming back togetheriness kind of stuff. I don't love AUs for Teen Wolf. I haven't read a lot of like AU and Teen Wolf fan fiction. You know, I don't know how that works, but I mean, I imagine that fake dating is, you know, a good one for that. But Teen Wolf, I love, as I've said, I love, my favorite thing in the world is Styles with a kid. Like, that's my favorite thing. Like, I don't know how he got it, but Styles with a kid, singles parent Styles, is my favorite fandom thing with Teen Wolf. I don't know. Karen, what about you and stuff that you've come across?
Yeah, I don't read a whole lot either. I sort of just read what the other girls give me, which is fine. I like it. It makes my life easier. But I do like reading Steric, and I like reading Skittles, which I didn't think I would like, but Brooke sort of just kept handing me stuff, and I kept saying, oh, this is really good. Oh, this is really good, too. So that kind of worked that way. One of my favorite tropes actually is enemies to lovers, and
me too. That's the thing. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I'll carry on, and I'll actually talk to you about something that we discussed. I was discussing recently with, but carry on.
Okay. And that's why I like Steric so much, is because a lot of their fan fiction tends to be that way. I also don't read a lot of AUs. I really try to stay away from them in fan fiction in general. I like canon compliant. I like it when it could easily fit into the show. Like, oh, you know, on the next episode of Teen Wolf, this is what happens. Because I think it just makes it more realistic to the show that way and makes it more believable in my mind. So, yeah, I don't really like AUs that much. I tend to stay away from the futuristic stuff, too. I like it where they are now And I would have to say, like, season 2 and 3 are my favorites for fan fiction, because I feel mm-hmm. like season 4, they started moving on, and, like, we have Kira and Scott a lot yeah. more heavily now, and Styles and Malia, and it makes it hard for me to, like, imagine them going into Steric or Skittles, so... I like some of the older stuff better, I think.
Yeah, I think that I think there's a bubble, especially for Steric. I think that there's a bubble in which it could have been really canon compliant in that period, and I really enjoy that. As you said, now it's a bit harder to kind of take the current canon and make that work with the pairings that you might want that aren't canon. But that doesn't matter. It means I just like to, you know, ship the stuff that's actually in the show harder. Like, that's fine. But but yeah, in terms AUs, I don't dislike. I love good AUs in general, when they're like, when a person really knows how to do it, so that they find a way to adapt canon, you know, and little references that just make hits really hard. And it's like, you made, it's not just like, we're at Hogwarts, they really make it work. But I haven't read that many AUs for Teen Wolf, so I don't know if there are some really skilled people doing that or not. But I like the same. I'm either very, very canon compliant, or AUs that are so clever that they're unavoidably good. But the friends to lovers versus enemies to lovers thing is, do you remember when we spoke to Heidi from AO3? Mm-hmm. And she said, like, at the time, that there were more, like, Peter and Styles fan fictions on the tags than Scott and Styles, and that Friends to Lovers is just not a very popular, not popular, but, like, the best friendshipping has just never been that popular in fandom. Like, you know, like, think about, like, Harry and Ron compared to, like, Draco and Harry in right. Harry Potter fandom, which is, like, nothing. Like, yes, people might ship Harry and Ron, but, and for me, a lot of what that is, and I was talking about this, and because the only best friend pairing I've really ever shipped is Steve and Bucky, like, with Captain America. That works in a different level because there's a whole other section of trauma, and, you know, separation. But the thing with friends to lovers for me is that, like, it's two people. They know each other really well. If they were going to fancy each other, they would have already, if you know what I mean. Like, we'd be there already, as opposed to, like, here's this new person, we're abrasive, and, oh, maybe it's because we like each other. Like, with a really long-term, like, grew-up-together friendship, the friends-to-lovers thing kind of, not confuses me, but, like, it has to be well done for me to believe that, you know, if I'm not seeing something there already, that, like, oh, why do they start liking each other suddenly after knowing each other for this long, if you know what I mean. So that's my thing with Scott and Styles. So if anyone ever wants to link me to stuff to show how that works, because I don't really buy that one of them would be pining for the last 8 years over the other one, if you know what I mean. I'm not quite on board with that take on it. So yeah. Anyway, we can carry on with that. Another anonymous question for the podcast. Your thoughts on Danny, like, Kiahu not being around in season 4. Do you think we'll see him pop up in Beacon Hills in season 5? If yes, how do you think we'll attempt to explain his season 4 absence? How can they leave me with, dude, it's Beacon Hills, and then nothing? Runs off to continue crying about Danny. Okay. Someone's got some feelings about Danny. Anonymous. All right. I understand. I get you. To start with, I don't necessarily think that they'd need to explain it if he did pop up. Like, he doesn't have to be there all the time. Like, he could have been there in the background existing. We just didn't happen to see him because we were seeing our characters. It wouldn't, like, be like, oh, I've been abroad for 6 months. He could have just been there in the background, like, you know. But that being said, I don't know. I don't know if he'll pop back up or not. I have no clue about whether that's, you know, on the cards. I was sort of okay where they left it. Like, I don't think he was a really likable character that had a lot of, you know, kind of hints, you know, big reveals and hints that were a lot of fun. But we don't have a main character that's really interacting with him anymore. Like, we don't have Jackson or Ethan, who are in the, you know, supernatural circle. So it would have been okay, like, for him, if he does show up, he could just be a guy that lives in the town, and it wouldn't be like, I've been in China for 2 years. I would be okay with him popping up and not find it unrealistic. What about you, Karen?
I actually have a lot to say about this, because I was really disappointed that they left it the way that they did, because saying that Dude at Speaking Hills just explained so much over the last, yeah, like, three seasons. And the fact that Danny knew was a huge deal. Like, whether or not you like Danny, that was a huge deal.
Yeah.
And the fact that he wasn't in season four was really disappointing, because we got that line and then we got no explanation. And people have loved Danny from the beginning for various reasons. Now, the other side to that that I want to say is that I, having written, you know, all the Teen Wolf news for the last, like, 2 years, I have no idea why Kiahu isn't on the show anymore. I have no insight into that, unfortunately. But I know a lot of people are like, oh, well, they just decided to cut his character. I think I just want to throw out there that it's really important to remember that there's a lot more going on behind the scenes than just like, oh, they decided that they don't want Danny in the show anymore. There are agents, yeah, there are contracts, you know, there's negotiations, there's people who want to do something else. No idea. So while it's disappointing, I understand that sometimes you just can't fit characters into the storyline and they decide to go in another direction. Unfortunate, but we kind of just have to deal with that. I would love to see Danny come back. I would want them to explain his absence, because I feel like him not being seen around the school for an entire year or season, I guess, since that's not a full year, and him not interacting with people who were formerly his friends, sort of. I don't know. That would be hard to sort of explain away for me, you know, just like not addressing it at all. So I would like, if he did come back, for them to say something about it, even if, yeah, if it was, oh, I was in China for the last 2 years.
Yeah, fair enough. No, I can see that. And I agree. I think that there's probably a lot more to it. I really don't think it was like, we're just going to cut that character. Like, they knew what was going on with people. So, either something to do with the actor or the story, like, you know, was not right for that season, because it's not like they were oblivious about it. Like, and they did kind of have that line, and it did kind of sound like there might be follow-up, you know, like that kind of opened up the door for like, oh, what do the people of Beacon Hills know about what's going on? Like, Scott thinks it's such a big secret, but maybe it's not. Like, it sounded like, it didn't really necessarily sound like an ending point, you know. So we'll see, but yeah. Okay, next question is for me, so that's great. I'm so glad that Anonymous has chosen to come into the Ask Box and leave this. I mean, I did mention One Direction on Twitter, but someone has said, Natalie, and anyone else who wants to, how do you feel about Four as an album? For those who are not aware, Four is One Direction's latest album that came out late last year. Do you like it better than previous albums? Do you agree their songwriting has improved? Do you think Harry really got a tattoo of a whale on his thigh? Oh, Jesus. Okay, I don't know what's going on with that thigh tattoo. He's a bloody... I just can't. Like, he's covering up his tattoos with worse tattoos. Like, he had some beautiful tattoos. He is getting cover-up jobs that are terrible. He has got a mermaid tattooed on his forearm. It's a mermaid, Karen. It's a mermaid with a vagina. It's a mermaid with legs that meet in a crotch with a vagina and pubic hair and then going into a tail. It's visible. When he holds his first child, there's going to be a picture of him holding the and the vagina mermaid. Like, Christmas cards, you know, like, he's going to have to go to business meetings. He goes on children's television, vagina mermaid. It's not like it's under his sleeve. It's his forearm. He's got a problem. Anyway, I just can't. I just can't with his tattoos. And on his thigh, I don't know. In an interview a few years ago, he said he was going to get Cheryl Cole's face tattooed on his leg. Maybe it's that. I don't know. I don't know what he keeps doing. I don't know why he thinks it's a good idea. It's insane. As for Four, there's a few songs on it that I really love. There's a few songs that are, like, up there with the best. What I want to do is take the best songs off Midnight Memories, half of Midnight Memories and a half of Four, put them together in one album, and that would be a legitimately good, like, indie-sounding pop-rock album. There's a lot of songs on Four that I think are worse than most of Midnight Memories. I think Midnight Memories as a whole is the best album they've done, with a couple of duds, whereas Four has a few amazing songs with a few that are like, I think that the songwriting on Midnight Memories, especially from Liam and Louis together, is really, really good. Like, Through the Dark is beautiful. No Control, though, on on 4 is that is a jam. They should be doing that live and they're not, and I don't know why, because it is amazing, amazing. And like Fireproof, there's quite a few songs that I like on 4, but I don't think it's as deep. I think that they dialed it back a bit. I think Midnight Memories was a bit too, like, the writing, like lyrically and sonically, was actually like, yeah, it's One Direction and they're a pop boy band, but it was too edgy, like, for them. And I think that someone in charge, or they themselves or whatever, they dialed it back a bit for 4. Like, Midnight Memories was a risk and they dialed back for the next, and I think it was a bad move. So I'll be interested to see what's going on. They're writing at the moment, a lot of them, and I don't know. So that should be fun. But, yeah, sorry about that, Karen. Do you have any opinions on One Direction's album 4?
I do not. I have not listened to this album at all, because I think I'm still playing Midnight Memories on repeat, which I love pretty much every song on that
Midnight
album.
Midnight Memories is probably my favorite. Yeah. Again, there's a few great pop songs on the first two albums, a couple of great ones that Take Me Home, and they're like more like proper pop songs. Midnight Memories as a pop rock album is nearly flawless. Like, yeah. I love it. So I definitely like it more than 4, but there are a few songs on 4 that are some of the best songs they've ever done, and I really hope that they get to keep going with what they want to do, I suppose. Okay, moving on to something not One Direction related. I have a question for the podcast. What has been your overall favorite season of Teen Wolf? I'd love all of you to answer, not just Natalie and Karen, if that's okay. And that is okay, and all of the girls have answered. Brooke said 3B, with season 4 as a very close second. Courtney says season 2. Donya says season 2 because she just loved the baby beta leather gang. And Derek hopped up on Alpha Juice. Oh, God. Is Hopped Up on Alpha Juice never going to die, Karen? Is that a thing that's just never going to die? Okay, good. My legacy. and just the relationships between everyone, I think they were great. Agreed. Like, that's, again, that's where, like, a lot of the fan fiction, as I said, that I was reading was kind of from that dynamic, and now it's not really canon compliant, and I haven't really got into newly canon compliant fan fiction. So 2 is my favorite. Maybe followed by 3B or combined with 3B. How about you?
3B is definitely my favorite, which I know that it tends to be everyone's, like, it's like the messiest season, so a lot of people aren't too crazy about it, but I think it's the darkest and the deepest the show has ever gotten. And that is, that's something that I really like seeing out of Teen Wolf. I love the humor, but I love the relationships on the show, and a lot of what happened between Scott and Styles in 3B is really important to me. And of course, Dylan O'Brien just knocking it out of the park with, you know, the Nicotine parts and everything. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, I agree. I'd say 2 and 3B are really, really. 4 was really fun. 4 was really fun, and I remember just watching, like, the first episode of 4 and, like, the cinematography and everything, and being like, oh my God, this feels so, like, big and different. But 2 was when I started really loving the show, like, really loving the show. One, I was sort of breezed through it, and I was like, yeah, it's pretty good, it's pretty clever, I'm enjoying it. 2 was a big deal. 3B was a big deal for me. Okay, next question. Anonymous, what do you think of Jeff Davis? All right, we'll answer this. Courtney's left a note as well to add her thoughts. She said, Jeff Davis isn't perfect, but he's got heart. I've never met a nicer guy. He's genuine and very excitable. No one loves Teen Wolf more than Jeff Davis loves Teen Wolf. That's true. I mean, Karen, do you want to go first with this? Like, you know, I feel like this person is not necessarily a leading question, but I feel like they're not asking for, like, you know, gushing and thumbs up. They're asking for, you know, a genuine opinion of a human being. So, yeah, what did you want to say here?
Okay. Yeah, let's be real. There's a lot of dislike for Jeff Davis for various reasons. I do not agree with those opinions, because I've met Jeff a handful of times, and every time I've met him, he has been, like Courtney said, one of the nicest, most genuine people that I've ever met. literally nobody loves Teen Wolf more than Jeff. He gets so excited about what he's doing, and he is so proud of what he's doing. And yeah, the show isn't perfect, but there's also a lot more going on behind the scenes than anybody realizes. Jeff is not the be-all, end-all for this show. The show has to go through MTV, and sometimes MTV sort of does what they want to do, or they kind of put roadblocks in place because there are certain things that they envision for the show. There's a lot of corporate-like language going on, and we as fans don't always realize that. But I think Jeff is as much of a fan of the show as any of us, and the fact that he loves what he's doing is the most important thing to me, because I know that it's not fake. I know that he's not doing it for the money or for the acclaim. He's doing it because he loves this story. He loves telling the story, and he loves sharing it with the people that he's hired and the people who watch the show.
Yeah, he is a good person. I don't know why people think he's not. I don't really have a concept. I mean, there's a lot of culture and fandom of this, like, you know, hang people after saying something dodgy once, like absolutely denouncing people for saying things in passing that, you know, become permanent because they're on the internet. And I don't even know, you know, if there's anything of Jeff's that, you know, I'd particularly hang out to dry. I mean, people don't like his opinions on, you know, or his choices, but I don't think he's said anything terrifically problematic. But even if he did, people are human and, you know, can make mistakes and correct them. But he is a good person, genuinely. Like, I don't want to, like, come in on here and, like, spill the beans or act like we know things that other people don't. But we have had some conversations with people involved in the show that are honest and not on-air recorded conversations that are real talk about things that have gone down with the show. And what I've taken away from that is who the good guys and who the bad guys are in certain situations. Jeff is not the bad guy, pretty much ever. He's such a genuinely good person. Like, if hating Jeff Davis is like the hill that you're choosing to die on in terms of, like, social justice, pick a different hill. You're literally wasting energy. You're fighting someone who wants good things for you. And it's, you know, it, if you just don't like the show, you don't have to like the show. You don't have to like the way that he's telling the story. But he's not in any way a bad person. He's nice and it's genuine. Like, it's like, it's not like I'm putting on a face because I'm meeting people. It's nice with people he trusts. It's nice with, you know, inviting people over to his house. Not that we've been to his house, but, like, he trusts fans to come to his house. Like, that's weird. He's weird in a good way. He's a big nerd. And he is so excited. Like, he'll just, when he knows someone and trusts them, like, again, this sounds so braggy, right? So, which is not how I mean it to, but when he knows that someone isn't going to spill the beans and he can tell them something about the show without it turning into this big leak, he is so excited to tell you everything. Like, you know, he just randomly at ByteCon, he just called me over. Like, you know, I was walking past and I was like, hi, and kind of, you know, and he was like, come here. And he crouched down beside me and he pulled out his phone and he's like, look, it's a Berserker, and, like, showed me a photo on his phone. Like, he's such a nerd about this show, and he is so excited, and he loves to talk to fans because I feel like his staff are like, okay, Jeff, this is our job. I mean, everyone loves working on Teen Wolf, but literally I have had someone from Teen Wolf say to me, it's okay, Jeff will talk to you about it. Teen Wolf is his whole life, and he loves talking to fans about it because they care about it as much as he do, whereas for other people, you know, in the industry, it might just be a job and it's a genre television and it's not as, you know, classy as other shows and stuff like that. So I don't know what else to say. It's legit. I've met a lot of people, yeah, and you can tell when they're dodgy and when they're not, and he's not. Like, it's
exactly,
he's not.
And you can also tell by people's loyalties. I mean, people will throw themselves on the fire for Jeff, and that tells you a whole lot, especially
since... Yeah, it's not like he's coming around their house and threatening them with a stick saying, say nice things about me.
Yeah.
It's so legit. Like, mm-hmm. It's so legit.
And the little bit of the glimpse that I've gotten into Hollywood working for Hypeable and all of that, like, some people are here for the business. Some people are here for the craft, and you can quickly see which is which. And there are some people that like those connections that they get with fans and just other human beings in general. And so when you open up a relationship like that and people talk to you about other people, you can tell where their loyalties lie, and you can tell that people genuinely love Jeff because he really does want the best for everybody. Sometimes his hands are tied, and that's just the business, unfortunately. But I think that what you said, Natalie, sums it up best. If you want a hill to die on, choose another hill, because it's just not worth your time for this one.
Yeah. Anyway, let's move on from that. And yeah, no one's paying us or coming around our house to say that with a big stick either. All right, Anonymous, hello. What's your opinion on the future relationship of Styles and Lydia? Will season 5 be the season for them, or is it too late? I feel like that we've talked about this so much. Maybe this is Anonymous on Tumblr, so maybe they haven't listened to all our episodes. But just quickly, do you think season 5 will be the season for Styles and Lydia, or do you think it's too late, or do you think it's future? We have talked about Styles and Lydia maybe more than any other relationship on this show, but...
Have we? I don't feel like we've talked about them that much. I don't think season 5 will be the season for them. I think that Styles and Malia are still going to be a thing, which I love. I really love Styles and Malia. I think that we've heard that they're going to hit some rocky paths in season 5, but I don't necessarily see that as being the end for them. I think Lydia is going to sort of branch out. I'm hoping for a little parish action, to tell you the truth, because I think that would be nice. I also don't think it's too late for them. I kind of maybe see it as being the end game. I don't know. A lot of things in the show have changed. Yeah. The relationship has changed so dramatically that it's very difficult to see where exactly they're going to go with that. But if that is endgame, I would be into it, because I really like them as best friends. And I think that they, with some adjustments, could really make it work as a very nice relationship, like a romantic relationship.
Listen, in relation to that, I'm actually going to throw over to a Twitter question that we got saying, how do you feel about Lydia and Styles never discussing their kiss, or Lydia not knowing Styles saved her from Peter?
I mean, a lot of things on Teen Wolf actually happen off screen. We've discussed that before, so I wonder if maybe they talked about their kiss off screen. But if they didn't, I kind of like the idea that they haven't addressed it, because it makes a little bit of tension there.
I feel like it would be like the floodgates opening up, like that thing that we don't talk about, you know, like, and then, cause they both kind of, cause she kind of had it, she kind of felt it, and like, it was like, and they're choosing to like, okay, we're going to put that in a box and not deal with it. And that if they did address it, it would be like the floodgates opening up, and maybe that will be how they do happen, if they do happen, or that they'll have to kiss again, or that they randomly kiss again and it'll all come back or something like that. Yeah, so that was from Kat Brandy on Twitter. Okay. Hi, will the episode 502 have the same title as the season premiere, please? I mean, it is two parts, so part one or part two. Do you know this? Like, the episode titles, is it just like, you know, season 5 premiere, part one, part two? Is it airing the same night? Or is it double episode? Or is it just...
As far as I know, it's airing back-to-back days, so it might be like Sunday, Monday, which they've done before, and then the rest of the season will air on Monday. I'm not entirely sure, because they did say June 29th, so maybe it'll be a Monday, Tuesday, or a two-hour premiere. We don't have a lot of details yet. More than likely, it won't have the same, like 502 won't have the same title as 501, because they've never done that before. In other series they usually pick two different titles, even if they're going to be like a double episode. And we know the episode titles of 501, 3, and 4. We just don't know it of 2 yet. But
maybe
I would...
2 is spoilery. Who knows?
Maybe. I would bet money that it's going to have its own unique title.
Yeah. Fair enough. Okay, so we've got one here that I just want to address, because it's a little bit unclear, and I'm just actually giving a call out to them to email them. Someone said, hi, I'm the person who sent you an email a few months ago about cards from you about conventions in Paris and Brussels where they'll be going. Don't forget to answer, please, if I have to do something. Okay, not 100% sure what this is in reference to. It might have been to do with giving out our podcast postcards at some cons that we couldn't be at. If you want to email us again or the ask box not anonymously, we'll sort you out with that. So if you're listening to this, email again. I'll go into the email and do a search for Brussels or something and see if I can pull up the email as well. But if you are interested in having some stuff sent to you, I mean, don't feel obliged in any way, but if you actually want to, yeah, just let us know again and I'll fix that up, but that's fine. Okay. So last Tumblr question, then I've got a handful from Twitter as well, but Pietro Maximoff said, favorite of the Teen Wolf parents, including Peter, I guess. Natalie, what are you doing now without Glee Chat? And then if you got to cast a Teen Wolf actor in the Marvel Cinematic or TV universe, who would you want and what would they do? Vice versa, who would you want from MCU on Teen Wolf? Interesting. Okay. First of all, what am I doing now without Glee Chat? I don't know. It kind of feels like Glee Chat never existed. It was like this whole big period of my life, which is now gone. It's weird. I'm talking to Jack every day about the Raven Cycle. and I am... I don't know. Well, I'll be back on Rewatchable, I suppose. A lot of us are on, like me, Jack, and Mitch. I mean, I haven't done Rewatchable with Jack, but he might be on the next one. I don't know, but I'll come back to Rewatchable with everyone else who wants to come back for Avatar, probably. I don't know. I was just thinking yesterday about Glee, not Glee Chat, but Glee. I was just like, it's gone. It's like Glee. Like, it's just gone. Like, it never existed. Not that I don't care about it, but it's just like, there's no more Glee, like, in the world, and I kind of can't believe it. It's really weird. So, hi, Pietro Maximoff, who knows about Glee Chat. I don't know who you are, so come and talk to me about that if you want to. Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. I mean, Karen, you don't have any feelings about Glee being over, but it's a weird moment.
I love that you know that. I mean, I have feelings about them being over, but I'd rather not air my negativity.
That's fine. I mean, it is what it is. It was a weird time. I know, it's really strange. I'm just curious about when, like, the tell-alls are going to come out about, like, who hated their life and stuff like that, because yeah, there was a few of them. Anyway, how about favorite of the Teen Wolf parents, Karen?
This is hard. And who was writing in red here?
Donya.
Danya, okay, because I kind of feel the same as Danya, like Sheriff Stonsky, Melissa, Sheriff. I think I'm going to go with Melissa, though, because she is such a good mother. Not to say that Sheriff is not a good father and maybe a good mother. I mean, you know, but Melissa, I just really have always sort of connected to her character a lot. And I think that her relationship with Scott is really beautiful and really deep. Whereas the sheriff tends to have funny scenes with Stiles, which works in its own way. And not to say that there haven't been deep scenes, but I really feel for Melissa in a lot of her scenes. So I think I'd have to go with her.
I agree that they're both great. I think Chris Argent is my favorite, though. I miss him. And I think that he's my favorite of the parents. In general, I mean, he's had some moments where I'm like, Chris Argent, calm down. But at the moment, yeah, I think that he's my boo. So he's my number one dad, Teen Wolf dad. As for the other question, if you got to cast a Teen Wolf actor in MCU and MCU in Teen Wolf, that's hard. Donya's got some opinions on this. Donya's got some opinions. She'd put Cinqua as Eli Bradley from Young Avengers, who, for those who don't know, is Patriot, is he's the grandson of Isaiah Bradley, who was the first black Captain America in, like, one of the different Marvel universes. Anyway, so he would actually be really good, and she wanted Ian Nelson is on her shortlist, because Donya's probably got, like, an Excel spreadsheet with, like, ranked listings of, like, which actors could play every character in Marvel Comics.
Ian Nelson's
on her shortlist for Billy Kaplan. If Young Avengers ever happen, I feel strongly that they should cast someone of Jewish descent, as it's such an important part of his character. Billy Kaplan is Wiccan, who is a character, again, in Young Avengers, like the Teenage Avengers, and he is one of the first, or one of the current big openly gay superheroes as well. So I don't know. The first one for me is, like, there's a lot of stuff online. Oh, God, I can't say this. No, I can. Oh, I was about to spoil something about Age of Ultron because I thought everyone had seen it, and then I was like, no, it's just me. Only I have seen it. No one in America has seen it.
Thanks for rubbing that in, Natalie.
Sorry, that's okay. Yeah, a lot of people have done a lot of great gift sets with Jeremy Renner as Hawkeye and Crystal Reed as Kate Bishop, who is the other Hawkeye. She's the young Avengers Hawkeye, in like gift sets showing like a what a TV version of the Hawkeye comic would be, like the current Hawkeye comic of Hawkeye with Kate kind of both working together as Hawkeye and, you know, his sort of life in Brooklyn in a loft with a dog and not washing his T-shirts and being this big flop. And it's basically like what Hawkeye does when he's being like a normal person and not in the Avengers and stuff like that. And that would have been a great television spin-off if they could have got Jeremy Renner to do that. He's quite a famous actor, so he probably doesn't have time to do that TV series, but that would have been great. And I think because there's a lot of gifts with, you know, Crystal, she's quite posh looking and she's lots of gifts of her with a bow and arrow. So good opportunity for her to be like a fandom Kate Bishop. So that's the first one that comes to mind for me. As far as elsewhere, not Dylan O'Brien as Spider-Man. Can we just say that, given that we all like had like weird heart attacks over that? Like, not that I don't think he would be really good, but it was just, we were just not prepared for it. So yeah. How about you, Karen?
I would have to say, I would actually, okay, first of all, Crystal Reed as Hawkeye, yes, I think that would be really cool. I don't know comics that well, so if you want the Excel spreadsheet version, go to Danya. But my opinion is that I would love to see Dylan do some sort of villain in the MCU. I think that would be really neat, really different for him, and a good exposure for his range. I don't know which character it could be, but I would love to see something like that. Somebody who, I don't know, like, actually, I could see him doing, like, the Riddler or something. Like,
that's
very
DC, Karen.
Oh, crap.
I agree, because it was the first thing I thought of as well, like Jim Carrey's Riddler.
Yeah, I was just trying to think of, like, which characters.
I was like, oh, Dylan is a villain, but yeah, that's DC.
DC,
but yeah,
you're totally right. I knew that. I just blanked for a second.
That's okay. Maybe he can go into, like, Greg Berlanti's TV DC verse and, like, hang out there somewhere and, you know.
I just want to see him do something, like, really over the top where he's, like, his craziest, because he's really good at that. But aside from that, vice versa. I want Robert Downey Jr. I mean, is there any other answer for me?
I knew you were going to say this. What would he do?
He would play some genius billionaire playboy philanthropist, and he would...
So just himself, then. He'd just play himself. That's fine.
Yes. I think that would be cool.
Oh, God. I don't know, man. Like, I feel like Tyler Hoechlin could play the younger brother of Grant Ward, like, on S.H.I.E.L.D., the one who fell down the well, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I feel like they look, like, enough alike in sort of that sort of bland way. Not that they're not both very good looking, but... They're very good looking, but have we seen the younger brother? Because we saw the older brother on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because he, like, set him on fire or whatever. The Christian Ward, the senator or whatever. But the younger brother, I don't know if we kind of know what happened to him. And I feel like he could play that. I feel like he could do that. So that might be one for one of our kids going into the MCU. MCU coming into Teen Wolf. I just can't with Robert Downey Jr. being in the show. I don't know. Who'd have fun? I don't know.
I could see, like, Chris Evans coming in and being, like, an antagonist sort of deputy for Parrish. I think that would be great.
Chris Evans does fabulous comedy.
Oh, my
really
God.
Fabulous comedy.
So good.
So, like a douchebag jock kind of role would be really funny. So if it was, like, a police, not like that horrible policeman that was, like, gross to baby Derek, but like a douchebag, like, gum snapping, lazy cop, if you know what I mean, that would be really funny, maybe. So he's great at, like, at ridiculous comedy. So that would be fun. I'm trying to think of, like, something realistic, like, you know, someone who might actually do it. But, you know, what's the fun in that, I suppose? I don't know. Or Hayley Atwell, because she's amazing literally in everything. She's hilarious and very moving in everything that she does. So Hayley Atwell loves to have good fun with stunts. She's good at fighting, and that would be fun. Yeah, so those are my answers. I'm sure we'll think of more. Now, I'll just grab a few of the questions from Twitter as well. Quickly, I'll scroll through. Gleek Forever 22 said, what do you hope to see in season 5? Is there a storyline you'd like to see happen? I think we kind of covered that with the Native American stuff. That might be good. Is there anything else in particular that you're kind of hoping to unfold in season 5?
I still want to see a lot more of Lydia and her powers. We talked about this on the Lydia episode, but her powers are still very unknown, and I'd like to explore more of the details of that and Parrish, basically. And not necessarily them together, but just finding out Parrish's background and what he is. I'm hoping that's going to be a big part of season 5.
I'm still really hung up on about how Liam and Mason became friends if Liam's new to the school. I don't know why. This has just got stuck in my head. I'm like, how does this work? So I want to know about that. I kind of want to see Satomi's pack and how they work again, possibly. That might be good. Or if that young one is going to be, what's his name, Brett, is going to be around more as well, because I found that character very interesting. Let's scroll up. We've had that one. What are your thoughts on Scott and Isaac's friendship? Did you feel like the Scott and Isaac and Allison triangle was unnecessary? Yes, it was unnecessary. They should have just all dated each other in an agreeable manner. Literally, yes. Yes. Scott and Isaac is my favorite male friendship on the show, like 100%. Well, it's my favorite male shipping relationship on the show. Scott and Styles is obviously a very important friendship. Scott and Isaac is that's my favorite male relationship on the show regardless, so I love it. And the triangle was unnecessary because, yes, they should have all just dated. Like, come on. Any further thoughts, Karen?
Oh, my God. Scott and Isaac's friendship. Like, okay, shipping aside, because you guys know I hardcore ship them, their friendship was so good because
really
Isaac,
important to me.
Yeah, because Isaac was so loyal to Scott because Scott was a great leader. And Isaac was sort of the first person to really recognize that. And I think that it's amazing, his loyalty to a fault for him. And God, it's so good. And
bring
I just
back Isaac. Why is he not there? Why have they taken him away? I don't understand. I'm so sad. I love him so much. And I hated him so much when I first watched season 2. I was like, you douchebag. And our number one character that needs to return to this show. Come on, guys. Please, please bring him back. There was a continuation of that comment. It said, Scott, an Isaac triangle was unnecessary drama that took away from Scott and Isaac's friendship and Allison having a stronger storyline in her final season. I don't feel like the thing is, okay, with that extension, I don't feel like the triangle was that much of a problem in that it's not like every episode was like, should I date Scott? Should I date Isaac? There was one conversation about it, and I always really liked the build-up. Allison and Isaac was such a great show-don't-tell relationship. Like, we knew from the whole season before that there were moments, but they never had a conversation about it, but the acting showed that there was something growing there, and I actually really appreciated that as a, like, kind of, you know, showing what's going on moment. And, you know, if anyone was actually surprised by it happening when it happened, you weren't paying attention, basically. And I really loved that. So I don't necessarily think it took away from Allison having a strong storyline. I don't think it was that major a part of what was going on, and I liked that it wasn't super over dramatic and, like, you know, Scott and Isaac had one fight about it and that was it. But I don't know, Karen, were you sort of happy with Allison's final storyline, or what would have you preferred?
I am not a huge fan of triangles, for sure.
Yeah.
But the way that they did that ended up really well. And it was because, you're right, it wasn't back and forth every episode, like, who should I date? It was more like them moving on, but still being friends, and the consequences of being really close-knit group and how that sort of played out. So, I mean, it was sad because I always really liked Allison and Scott together, but I really like Kira and Scott together too, and I wasn't crazy about Allison and Isaac, but it is what it is, and I mean, the way that it ended up is really tragic, but I think in a way it seemed appropriate. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't feel dissatisfied with anything, and as I said, I wouldn't have necessarily put Allison and Isaac together, you know, from the get-go, but I really appreciated the way it was done. I appreciated that they did really well with the acting and the subtle moments that just led up to it that were so obvious that they had a bit of a thing going on, even though there was nothing being said. So I don't know. I didn't hate the way it was done, but they still all should have dated each other. Anyway, let's go. Okay, a couple more series. This question says, I'm a little bit confused by this. Death Cab Jenny, and I don't know if it's just the phrasing, said, why do you think Lydia will keep her fighting skills a secret from everyone? And I don't know, is this like a piece of canon that I've missed, or is this just something oddly phrased, or is this like a hypothetical, or did we once say that we thought that she'd keep her fighting skills from everyone?
I don't remember anything about this. I've been trying to think about it since I read this question earlier today. I don't remember anybody saying anything about Lydia needing to keep her fighting skills a secret. I remember saying we'd love to, oh, maybe this is where it came from, because I know in the Lydia episode we were talking about how we'd love for her to have like a weapon or something, and then maybe she had to like hide that from other people in the school or something like that.
I feel like there's a possibility that, you know, if she was trying to teach herself to be competent with a weapon, that she might do it in private, either because she was embarrassed or independent or a combination of both, if you know what I mean. But I don't know. I didn't quite understand that question. So if you want to ask us again on Twitter or something, like, or put it as feedback in another episode, we can try again. But it feels like that you're asking something with some information that we don't have. So I'm not quite sure about that one. Okay, last couple here from ChronoJourner. These are some nice reflective ones about the podcast, so a good place to end. Who would be your top three interviews you'd like to have on the podcast that you haven't been able to get yet? Karen?
Number one would be Jeff.
Yeah.
I mean, just because obviously he can give us the most insight into the show, but also because he's just really fun to talk to, and he's so excited about the show that I think it would just be a great interview. Second would probably have to be Dylan, because he's just, you know, one of those that always seems out of reach for us. And we've got to interview him a couple of times at San Diego Comic-Con, but that's in a group setting and it's not quite as personable that way. So it'd be really nice to just sit down with him and chill. And actually with him, I would like to probably talk more about like the Maze Runner and some of his other stuff rather than Teen Wolf. But just any time with him would be really cool. And then let's see, last one. I was going to say Hecklin, but I'm going to go with Lyndon because I love Lyndon and he's the best. And I just want to talk to him about
my three would be Jeff, Hecklin, and Lyndon. That would be my three, which sounds like very unlady centric, but we've actually managed to get a lot of the women, a lot of the girls, for some reason, maybe they like the idea of us, but yeah, we've actually got, you know, because we've had, you know, Edie and Melissa and Haley and Megan Tandy, Holland I've spoken to. Holland, I would say Holland, but no offense to the girl, she's not a great interview. She's absolutely lovely and she'll tell you anything, but it's a little bit all over the place and I'm not sure she'd quite get the concept of the podcast format. I don't know if she'd be good for this show, basically. And sometimes she says stuff and then Jeff or whatever is like, what? She just like pulled that out of thin air, like, if you know what I mean. Like, it's, Holland can be a bit of a confusing interview. So I really like her. I've spoken to her and she's really insightful about her character. But sometimes she's a bit all over the place. So I don't know if the podcast format would be the best place to speak to her. I'd love to be on like a panel with her or something, though. But yeah, for insight, for characters, for personality and humor, Hecklin and Lyndon, and then Jeff, obviously, as well. Last question, which episode do you consider the best that you've done and why?
Oh, that's rough.
I don't even know how to answer that question. I can't even remember, is there anything that springs to mind?
That's really difficult because we have done a lot. I mean, we're on, what, 92? Do you guys know how many 92? Hours that is for us? I mean, basically,
so many hours. It's like 300 hours plus probably 800 hours of editing.
Oh,
literally.
My God. I don't literally. Even think about that. I have to say, gosh, who's given us like the most insight, I would say, that we've interviewed?
Would it be an interview? Would that be your top episode?
I would want to say so, just because, like, I really enjoyed interviewing Haley because she's such a doll, and she gave us some really cool insights into her character, and she's just a fun person.
That was just such a good conversation. Yeah,
yeah, it was. On top of that, honestly, maybe even some of the character analysis episodes that we've been doing, because it's really fun to break down an entire character's arc over 4 seasons, and yeah, we're gonna do a couple more of those, and I'm really excited about it because it's been fun to have people on that haven't been on a whole lot who really love those characters and get to talk to us about that.
Yeah, God, I don't know. I've really loved some of the recent interviews. I've really loved Barbara. I love Will, obviously, and yes, he knows that. But, like, I love him, and we know he loves us. I did not know he would be such a good guest. Like, I did not know that he would be such a personable, like, presence on air. I thought, and, like, you know, really thoughtful, and just the way he talked about it, it was... He really, really impressed me, and I really recommend that everyone listens to that episode because I think it's really good. Character-wise, I don't know. This is such a tough question. I'm trying to think of, like, good episode reviews and stuff, like episode recaps and stuff like that we've done. Doing the Writer's Room podcast on set, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
That was okay.
just okay, no big deal.
I'm trying to think back to, I will think about this. I mean, if anyone wants to weigh in as well, because I feel like there's been a few just analysis episodes that were just really, really big deal ones.
I want to say that one recap episode that we did of that episode that we didn't want to record. I can never remember the name of it. I think I've just like washed it from
the last episode of 3B.
Not the last episode. It was the one where Styles goes into the machine.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the one that we depressed us, legitimately depressed us. And I think it's because I like that episode because it was really raw and we, like, really felt the show. And that's really important to me. I never want the show to be something I watch just because I have to.
Because we have to do this podcast afterwards, right, or something like that. Yeah,
exactly. Because I've gotten that way about Once Upon a Time once in a while, because it's like, oh, it's a fun show, but, you know, I'm not that connected to it. Teen Wolf means a lot to me for a lot of different reasons. And that episode hit us so hard because we care about this show so much. And even though that episode was really difficult to record, I'm glad that we did it.
Yeah, I agree. I think that, yeah, the same probably for me was recapping when we were doing right back, going through season 1 and 2, the Victoria's death. That episode was quite hard for me, and that was good. But a lot of the interviews, like all of our interviews have been good. Some of them have really vibed really, really well. But I don't know. I'm curious as to what you guys think is the best episode. But maybe we should make like a best of, like start a pack for anyone who wants to come in and doesn't want to listen to 100 past episodes of Teen Wolf podcast or something. I don't know. Yeah, so that's kind of the end, I guess, of all of the questions that have been submitted. So I feel like that we've had a lot to say, which has been fun. Karen, do you have any final questions that you want to ask, or do we want to ask each other a question, or have you answered enough questions?
Oh man, I don't know. I'm pretty happy with all this. We got a good balance of Teen Wolf questions and non-Teen Wolf questions, and I've had to think deeply and hard about my favorite nut, which I never thought I'd have to do. But, you know, it was good times.
Yeah, I think that it's good. You know, obviously you can always leave a question for us as feedback, to answer at the end of a general episode. But, yeah, this was fun to think of everything you guys asked. And so thank you for contributing and caring about our opinions, I suppose. And
yeah.
Hopefully we've answered anything that you wanted to know about, you know, at least out of what you've submitted.
And I was going to say, if you guys have any ideas for episodes that you would like us to do before the show comes back on June 29th, let us know so we can plan ahead for it. We have some ideas, but we've purposely left some spots open so we can kind of go with the flow and maybe talk about news if there's something big that happens. But if there's something specific you want us to do, like a 45 to an hour long podcast about, let us know and we'd be happy to do it.
Yeah, because sometimes if it's like, hey, you know, you talked about Native American stuff, you know, can you guys go and research that and tell us some stuff that we might want to expect if they do go that direction? Like, we can do a research episode, but we have to prepare it in advance, you know what I mean? So, so just let us know and that will be fun and that will be good. So, yeah, thank you for coming and submitting the questions. Hopefully you enjoy this and, yeah, we'll speak to you all soon, I suppose. So, bye-bye.
Bye.
Nature is a language, can't you read? Nature is a language, can't you read?